The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? You're here on the SoCal Sound, here for another SoCal Sound session. Thank you for pressing play. And while we have you here, please make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of these cool sessions that we have almost every week, it seems like. And I'm Byron Gonzalez, here to bring you an amazing artist into our studios. I'm talking about Reina Tropical. They just released this new album called Malegria. Look how beautiful that is. It's majestic, just like the sounds on this album. And today we welcome guitarist, singer, songwriter, and producer, and a boss herself. We got Fabi. Reina, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, muchas gracias.
Gracias por venir aquí. I've been a fan for such a long time since you released your first EP. Well, since you released your first song, Niña. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've just been hooked. So I really appreciate you coming here and talking with me.
Thank you. That's a long time.
Yeah, it flies by, though.
Dang.
Especially when you listen to good music.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like, right. I was just noticing how music makes time go by so fast.
Yeah, it's that adage where time flies when you're having fun. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. very much so. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about your album because it's a great piece of art, a great piece of history, a great piece of just this moment in time and various other, it spans a couple of years, but I do want to get to know who is Fabi. So these questions are to get to know the essence of you. Mm-hmm. First off, are you a coffee or a tea person?
I've always been a coffee person, but I'm now a tea person because coffee takes me to level 1,000.
You're very sensitive to the caffeine?
I'm very sensitive, period, now. Oh. So, in the 7 years that you've known the music, those last three I've gotten very sensitive, so, but also te. I love Spanglish.
It's Spanglish,
you're like,
right?
Where am I? And everything is like, am I tea or am I coffee? Am I English or am I Spanish?
Yeah, it's a mezcla de dos.
So, yeah.
And how about, are you a morning or a nighttime person?
I'm absolutely a nighttime person. I'm not a morning person. Oh. Like, don't even
talk to you.
Don't even talk to me before 11.
Not before you had your tea.
Yeah, and even then, like, it just takes me some time to just, like, come back to earth, you know?
Yeah.
And I like to just be weird until, like, 11.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Are you into, like, the cosmos, the universe? And if so, like, do you have a favorite planet specifically? Mm.
Not by name. I'm not, like, a super fan by name. Like, I think a lot of folks are, but I definitely feel that I'm up there traveling a lot. Mm. I'm not sure if I even land to a planet, but I'm definitely up there traveling in the darkness and through the stars, and you know, she's vast. Yeah. The universe is vast.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't tell you by name, but I'm definitely up there.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I like that too, because it's vast and there's so much to choose from in every little piece, mm-hmm. every little sector is like its own world and its own discoveries to find.
I know. I'm definitely never know where I am up there, but I also love talking in universe language, you know,
yeah.
because like we don't have the words for it at all. So we can just be as psychedelic and mystical as we want.
That's why I like it. That's why I like talking about this stuff, because it's just unknown, right?
Right.
Just like how, I guess, to relate it back to music, you just never know where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it just Definitely. Comes out.
Definitely.
Right?
So I believe in the magic of the universe, and I think music is definitely a language for it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What would you say was an album that you, when you were growing up, that really like Mark Your Life or an album that just like you cannot put down?
This is gonna be really shocking. But I think it's gonna be shocking because I don't think you would think this. But anyway, it's Mira, Come On Miracle.
I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah.
Who, Mira?
Mira, she's from like the Olympia Pacific Northwest genre. And yeah, I just really loved her songwriting and her lyrics. And
did you have it on CD?
No, I didn't have it on CD. I had it on my iPod and maybe eventually once I started to collect vinyl, I got it on vinyl.
It was an essential.
Essential. That and like, I'm a big fan of that time period in that region. So like the Microphones in Mount Erie and Dear Nora and people, I don't know if you know that scene at all, but
not entirely, no.
It's very Pacific Northwest.
Okay. I've never even been to that Pacific Northwest area, yeah. So
it has its own character.
Interesting. I gotta travel more, honestly.
Yeah.
What would you say is like your favorite food?
My favorite food? Yeah. Well, I'm always and forever beans. I mean, beans for everything. And my mom makes some really good beans, so.
Oh, those are the best.
I always look forward to having those. But outside of that, maybe sushi. Maybe sushi.
I love sushi. Honestly, if yeah. I'm having a bad day, I'll just get a roll and I feel much better.
What is it about those little sushi rolls? Is it the fish? Is it how it's packaged?
And
how
seaweed?
It enters your mouth and it just like perfectly fits in there? Yeah. Like it's just great.
Yeah.
You know?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I was reading that, you know, when you were little, the first guitar you ever picked up was like at a music lesson and you just gravitated towards the guitar. Mm. But I want to know what was like your official first guitar where you first started like really riffing it and creating your own music. Mm. What was that guitar? And do you still have it?
I do still have the first guitar that I like saved up money for and bought on my own. And that was like a reissued airline guitar, like 1965 airline guitar. I think Eastwood makes them. And I still have it. And that was probably the first guitar that I really started writing on. Nice. I also have the first guitar that like I just like learned on, and I put really? All these Hot Topic stickers on it.
It's filled with stickers.
Let's say like this says like no preppies and like
I remember those. I remember those. That's hilarious.
You know, and it's so funny. I don't know. I don't even know. I was just kind of like trying to be cool, you know?
I mean, weren't we all?
Yeah, Hot Topic.
Every day after school, just go to Hot Topic, see right. what's new and come out.
And I thought, you know, playing with that guitar on stage was like the coolest thing ever.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
What made the switch in your head? Because I was also seeing some other interviews that you did and you're like, you know, and looking back too, like I didn't see any women playing guitar mm-hmm. or anything. Like what made you break that barrier in your head to be like, I'm gonna play guitar and I don't care what anybody tells me, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I'm even if it doesn't make me successful, because of course you didn't see the successful mm-hmm. guitarists, mm-hmm. women guitarists. Yeah, what broke that in your head?
Well, I went to the Girls Rock Camp in Portland, the Pacific Northwest, and that is where I first learned about women's impact in music and music history, and that is where I sort of found the outlet for my anger to travel through, which was activism, you know, and organizing and community organizing. And so that experience and learning about community, you know, and kind of feeling the support through community, met with the like anger that I had and this kind of fearless attitude that I also had growing up, because my mom exemplified that for me. I was just like, I'm just gonna do it, you know? I mean, yeah. Like I just kind of was like, If I'm pissed off, like, let me just use that
yeah.
to do something about it. So, I don't know. It was just like the perfect mix of anger and, you know, anger and discovery and perfect place at the right time.
That's awesome.
The right people.
Yeah, and your mom for being supportive yeah. for putting you in those camps
totally.
And everything. That's really
totally.
Cool.
Totally.
Because, you know, most yeah. Latina women are just like, oh, music doesn't get you anywhere.
Right,
or
right.
art is not a viable place to go.
Mm-hmm,
But yeah, that's that nurturing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Single mom, only child energy.
Yeah. Likewise.
Ayy. Ayy.
Right here.
Yeah.
And I guess that also, I mean, I feel like a lot of people that I talk to that are kind of single mom, only child, get into punk rock, and
yeah.
you are huge into punk rock too.
Yeah.
And I think that also was the catalyst for you making your own magazine, See
mm-hmm.
Shreds,
mm-hmm.
Which congratulations,
Thank
such
you.
A success.
Thank
but
you.
You know, that energy, I don't get to talk to many people about punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna know what were your favorite punk rock bands or the bands that really like, you're like, oh,
yeah.
shit. Like, you know, you can talk about movements, you can talk
yeah.
about activism, you can mm-hmm. make these lyrics that really like, talk about something, you know?
Yeah. Well, the first person that comes to mind, which is kind of like a punk math, is Des Arc. Do you know who that is?
No, I haven't heard of them.
From North Carolina.
Oh, see.
she was like my idol. But outside of that, ESG for sure. And I always love like the punk fusions, you know?
Yeah.
Bikini Kill, of course, and like the Riot Grrrl movement really influenced me. X-Ray Specs, The Slits.
Yeah.
Oh, there's this really awesome band and also from Portland called New Bloods. And the lead singer of that band makes a zine called Shotgun Seamstress.
Mm.
It's a zine that talks about black punks and the whole history of that and everything. So, you know, yeah, I gravitated towards punk, but I gravitated towards punk women, people of color, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a whole scene. I mean, that's a whole history to get to know, because there's from there it's like to learn about black women's influence in metal music and in metal, in the history of metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really cool. People have been using their anger to create these communities, you know, that we call punk. And
yeah.
So that really has influenced me in a big way. And that's one of the first genres that I really started with.
Yeah, and it really, I feel like a lot of people who start off with punk really, there's like an essence in their music,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not directly derived, like the sound,
mm-hmm.
but the energy or like the el espíritu, right?
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
in there, like you are here yeah. to make music with a purpose, just like punk was, and
totally.
You're not gonna care who listens, like you're
right.
making music for yourself.
Right, right,
so
definitely.
Now, yeah. I do wanna talk about your work, like, kind of a little transition, like how did that feed into when you first started creating with Sumo
mm-hmm.
at the beginning stages where there wasn't that, like besides like Bomba Estéreo, there wasn't anybody
mm-hmm.
like really creating like this tropical
mm-hmm.
electronica.
Mm-hmm.
How,
mm-hmm.
when you first released music, like how did that, like what were you feeling at that moment? You're just like, just releasing stuff? Like
well,
from within?
Yeah, it was, what the project was and still is, was kind of a space where we could be in curiosity and exploration with our intuition. It's music that I still make through improvisation. And we were both, there were a lot of firsts for both of us. Like, he had never collaborated with anyone else.
Mm.
And I had really never collaborated with like a DJ beat maker,
yeah.
you know? So it was always just instruments for me. And I had never really sang before. So it was really, for us both, it was like discovering different things within ourselves, you know, and opening up different doors inside that we're speaking through this music. And I think more than the sounds that were being created and the music that we were creating, we were more surprised and shocked by what we were feeling, you know, and that we could make this and kind of like, what are we making? You know, like we also were curious. We also didn't know. And we liked that. Like, we also didn't have a plan for it. You know, like we just made it and we were both like very deep in our own worlds and we had no plan to even tour live. So it was just 4 hours, finished the song and like put it up on Spotify, yeah. You know? And that's when you hear Niña No Me Quieres and the first EP, that's how those songs were kind of done. Yeah,
and it was. And then you just started getting all this traction.
And then we started getting all this traction, you know, and
wow.
And we were at, like I said, there was actually never a point, even to this day, I feel the same way. Like, everything is so surprising because there's not really a plan for things. Like, it's just kind of, it's more so the curiosity of like, there's something that I need to say. There's something I need to release. And also, it's not even just a me thing. Like, there's something that we need to say. There's something that there is a big collective energy that is needing an outlet. That's how I feel that this album is about. It feels really like I was really a vessel for a lot of different voices. So, I think that I actually don't really remember what you asked, but I think I think that answers it.
I think
maybe.
Just kind of reflecting on it, right? Reflecting on that first EP into your success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. So people kept asking, you know, for more basically, and we just said yes. We were like, sure. You know, and even our first EP, there was a writer for NPR, I think, listened to like Niña or something, and was like, hey, we want to include. Like an EP or a body of work in this next editorial piece, like you have something coming up. Mm-hmm. And we were like, dang, we don't, but let's make something real fast, you know, and that's how Mas y Mas and Madrugada came. Like we just made it to put it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing. So I feel like sometimes the best songs just come out of like the spur of the moment and they're quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Doesn't need a lot of rewriting.
For me, that's how I work, you know, that's the purpose of this music, is to document that feeling in that moment. So
yeah.
That's for me what my music means and what my offering is to the world in a form of documenting.
That's awesome. And you definitely did that with Malegria. It's a documentary in a sense. Mm-hmm. I heard it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she interwove these beautiful conversations you had with your partner and other people as well. And just you laughing and you talking about the title of the album or you talking about you singing. Like that's beautiful. But also I want to get a sentiment of here and the now from you, like once you hold it and tell me what you feel, like what's the first thing that pops into your head from holding this album?
I mean, first of all, I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, it's beyond what I could have imagined, you know, and every part of it holds such deep collaborations and it's for, on one part, me and Sumo's relationship, but, you know, it's another part, the relationship that I have with Devin, the person who took this photograph. It's another part, the relationship I have, you know, with Diana, who really was able to put all the pieces together so that this album could get made, and the relationship that I have with so many people that is so deep and so loyal and full of trust. And it was that practice, you know, and so I just feel like this album, looking at it, like, of course it's perfect.
Of course, yeah, that's awesome. That's
you know, and
perfect sentiment.
And everyone involved has a story. So to me, that just feels really full. So I'm just really, really proud of it, to be honest. I'm really proud of it, and I can't, it feels so good to put something out where, like, it's a complete circle.
That's
you know?
Beautiful. Yeah. Just like the universe intended, right?
Exactly. So.
Because you're hearing it and I hear those those interviews woven in, that conversations is just like, yeah, you need a little break from the music to hear a little bit from the artists themselves.
Right.
Because not always you're gonna find interviews on them on right. the online, or it's just like this pureness between you and Sumo, or
yeah.
you and I take it that was your mom that you were talking to about the colorism, or
no, it was this interview that we had with the director of the Museum of Afro-Mestizaje
okay.
in Guaji.
So then even adding that, you know,
yeah.
documentaries always have purpose too, you
definitely.
Know, and so even adding that, putting light to the colorism that we face in our cultures and
yeah.
our communities. So that was, yeah, perfect.
yeah, there's a lot, you know, and I was like literally falling in love during this album too.
Oh, it's
so
even another layer.
It's a lot, you know, it's just, it all, that's everything. And it's so weird to be in this relationship with death too, you know, and it's so weird to say this, you know, but it's like the way, you know, this, like I've said before, like this album could not have been made without the passing of Sumo. And I can't imagine what we would have made if he was still here.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like his passing made this perfect album too, that is both of ours, you know, that really is so much of him. And had he not passed, I don't think that he would have included himself so much.
No.
You know?
I feel he's very humble.
He's a very humble. He's very timid. He doesn't like to be in the front at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like he deserves the recognition, you know,
yeah.
that he gets here. And I don't know that he would have ever given that to himself.
I don't think so. It's hard for me to do it, too.
You know, no, for sure, for
know?
Sure.
So I'm sure he's yeah. up wherever he is, you know, happy.
Definitely.
You know?
I feel that.
That was a great tribute to him. And congratulations
yeah.
for
thank
that.
You.
And also sorry, but also a great testament to the name of the
right?
album, right? Malegria.
Because yeah.
you're facing this dark thing that happened
right.
with the passing of Sumo. And you're making an album that can make people dance.
Yeah.
Like he said.
And at the end of the day, you know, that's yeah, the other thing. It's like this is an album to make people feel good, you
mm-hmm.
know. So and to dance and it's you can take it as far as you wanted to, or you can just listen to the music and just dance and, you know, pretend like you're at the beach.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about the sounds of it, because mm-hmm. you know, for me, I'm just a general music lover. I don't really like, I've never studied music. I kind of clump music sometimes by just cumbia or traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, like, what, I know there's a lot of influences in here. I want to
mm-hmm.
know, like, what are you, like, what are they?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my guitar style is directly influenced by, like, Peruvian, Andean cumbia, cumbia amazónica, bird mm-hmm. sounds.
Yeah, that's cool.
Specific to Peru. And also Congolese sukus.
Yeah, what is that?
And that style is like, they would say simple guitar riffs, which sort of are, but like really aren't.
a little bit more complex.
Yeah, right? But they're repetitive, like maybe 4 to 5 notes that repeat really, really fast. And I don't play them that fast. My version is like very beachy. But the repetition of those riffs is like, for me, in my guitar style, like the rhythm that brings to the melodies of the guitar. And then there's also some champeta mm-hmm. from Cartagena in here. There's some sounds from Veracruz and from Guaji. We used the marimbas from the Afro-Mestizaje Museum.
That's cool.
From marimbas brought through like the importation of slaves like 400 years ago.
Wow.
You know, so
wow. yeah.
And that was really a huge deal for us, because, you know, telling that story of the journey of, you know, how people were stolen from Africa and from West Africa, and the ways that journey as it travels to Guerrero is told through music and through sounds and through instruments, you know, is a lot of what we have gotten to get to know in those conversations. And in Guerrero, where Sumo is from, that was just a really special moment. And that song is called Kwahi.
Kwahi.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do want to, you know, she's about to go in there, perform a couple songs. One of those songs is Cartagena. I do want to know a little backstory of Cartagena. And
sorry, I was all like, who are you talking to?
Oh, yeah, I told you, I break the fourth wall. I do that often. I talk to you guys, and then I talk to you.
Sorry, what was your question?
Because I grew up with Malcolm in the Middle, so I always break the fourth wall.
I love that.
Yeah, I want to know a little bit of the Cartagena backstory and what that song is about and what is Cartagena to you.
Cartagena is a lot of things, and I think for the most part, what comes to mind first is my memories of being there and collaborating with people, of course Sumo, but also Franklin, my friend Franklin, who's from San Basilio de Palenque.
Oh, so Cartagena is a place.
Cartagena is a place in Colombia.
Orale.
Yeah, Cartagena is a place in Colombia on the coast, and it's actually one of the first places in the Americas where people from Africa, you know, again were displaced to, and were taken from West Africa, and then they, from Cartagena, they basically ran away to San Basilio de Palenque and formed the first free town for African people.
Okay.
So. It's a powerful story of resistance, you know. It's a powerful story of how the plants and the water and the moon like guide you towards liberation. And that's what I received, you know. Like I said, when we write, we just improvise. So I didn't really know what the song was about until now, you know, until.
After reflecting
on it,
right?
And it takes many forms, but that's how I kind of understand it, and that's my translation of it, one of them.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that for me, it's the story of resistance and resilience, and how the plants and the elements can guide you towards that liberation.
Yeah, it's all in the universe. It's all part of it. We're all stardust. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
We're all meant to be free one day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like. Roaming out in the darkness somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
Somehow, some way. But thank you, Fabi. Thank you so much for taking the time and
thank
speaking
you.
With me. For giving us this perfect album.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. Fue un honor de tenerte aquí.
Sí, igualmente. Muchas gracias.
I'll be seeing you at the Masonic Lodge.
Hey, we're going to party.
Y no se lo olviden, don't forget, stream Malegria today, tomorrow, every day, whenever you get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Reina Tropical. She's about to go in there, play a couple songs. She's got Cartagena, Lluvia, classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see what else she decides while she's
unknown.
In there. Pues mucho gusto.
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Sí.
Te cuidas. So stick around and thank you for watching. Todo lo que tenemos, ¿sí? Y después y además a nuestros hijos, todo lo que tenemos.
lindo día en La Habana.
Luna para las hierbas.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.